March 4th, 2024. Are you persuaded? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Matthew 13:44. Now, we are going to see two parables these next 2 days. One in which the person isn't searching, and then one in which the person is. One in which he finds a treasure, and the other he finds a pearl. And as much as these two parables sound alike, we have much to see in both. But for now, we will look at the parable of the hidden treasure. So first things first, an odd way of saving. Now, back in Christ's day, there wasn't any banks in town. No ATMs. No bank cards. Money was actual gold and silver. Actual treasure. They had money exchangers and people who loaned money out with interest. We see that still in our day. But to store money, men would dig holes and bury their treasure to save it. If we read Proverbs 2, we will hear him say to search for wisdom like hidden treasure. So burying stuff was a common thing. And the most obvious place to do that, bury stuff, would probably be in a wide open field. Make it hard to find and maybe even easily forgotten. But what does this have to do with the kingdom of heaven? Well, here are some things to think about. Number one, the treasure. The first thing we must notice is that this treasure is salvation. It is eternal life. And as we will see, the treasure is even more than that. How can we know this? He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. What if he's just speaking of heaven itself? Maybe that's what he's saying. The kingdom of heaven is just a really cool place. It's a treasure. It's worth a lot. How is that saying it's salvation? Well, in order to see this in a different light, we only have to read Matthew 19:24 through 26. It falls in the context of the story of a rich young man. He asked Jesus, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Or in other words, how can I have salvation?" And then we read how Jesus corrects his definition of good and says, "Keep the commandments." And in response, the young man says, "Which ones?" To which Jesus lists the 10. We hear the young man boast of his success in keeping them. He says, "All these I have kept." But Jesus, in all his wisdom, pointed out his weakness. He said, "Give up your riches, give up your treasure, and follow me." Which leads the man to leave sad. But what comes next is how we know that the kingdom of heaven in 13:44 is indeed salvation. When Jesus speaks of the kingdom of heaven, he's speaking of salvation. The young man asked how to be saved, how to have eternal life. Then we hear Jesus say to his disciples, "Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And you may say, well, there again, it's just talking about heaven, actual place, not salvation. The treasure is heaven. Well, let's look at the disciples' response. It says, when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be, what? Saved." You see, they understood the talk of entering the kingdom as salvation itself. The treasure is salvation, eternal life. And if we go back and hear Jesus again tell the rich man, "Give up your treasure and follow me," we can see the picture even clearer. Because Jesus tells the rich man to give up his treasure and follow him. Why? Well, because Jesus is life. Jesus is eternal life. He is the greater treasure. The treasure is Jesus. Number two. Men and women who really find Jesus as treasure will give up everything that keeps them from him. The man found the treasure and did what? Well, first, he was filled with joy. What he has found made his eyes light up and his heart leap for joy. It was something that would indeed change his life forever. But more than that, he sold all he had to buy it. Why? Because what he found was able to pay him back more than he originally owned. It doesn't matter how much the field cost. He loses everything he owns to gain something of greater value. He was willing to sacrifice anything he had to make this treasure his own. And maybe his friends would laugh and call him a lunatic for selling everything he has for an old field. Not sure how aged the field was, but maybe it was an old field. How can he possibly consider a field more valuable than what he already has? This is crazy. He will be homeless and sleeping on rocks. That seems dumb. And maybe even his family fought him and became angry at this decision. You are putting our family in a tough position, they may have argued. They only saw a boring piece of land. But the man wouldn't waver, ever. Why? Because he knew what was in that field was worth more than anything. So number three, Christ is worth more. We must see clearly that a real Christ-exalting man or woman is completely convinced that Christ is worth more than anything that they have in this world. They are willing to give up all they have in order that they may have Christ. They forsake all their sinful past. They forsake all their old ways, all the old habits. They forsake the men and women who are champions of sin. They don't hang out with them anymore. Indeed, they're rejected by them because they seem kind of goofy now for choosing the field. They're willing to be laughed at, ridiculed, divorced, kicked out, beaten, or even killed for the name of Christ. They give up everything and count everything as loss for Christ. We hear Paul say that. He is sure that when he sees Christ at the end of life on this earth, he will be paid back more than anything he ever lost on this earth, whether riches or family or friends. This earth isn't his life anymore. Christ is. His life is one of crazy choices to other men and women, and he's okay with it. This is faith. Number four, persuaded or not? So the question is, are we persuaded? Have you found the treasure? Is Christ your treasure? Is he worth more than anything to you? You see, men and women go to church week after week. They feel secure in this. Monday through Saturday, they turn back from risky steps of faith. They can't handle tension or ridicule for the name of Christ. They are one way with some people and another way with others. They aren't committed to anything. They can't find time to spend with Christ. They can't read, they're too busy. They can't pray, they're too busy. They won't stand up and say, I follow Christ. They count him as a measly piece of fool's gold. He looks flashy in some parties, but he isn't worth enough to sell all that they have. If I lose my life, I'll lose everything because he sure isn't going to be enough at the end. That's what they say. And this is a sad end. Indeed, he or she will be like the rich man in chapter 19. He will hear, follow me, and go away sad because of riches or whatever else is choking out salvation, like we saw in the parable of the sower. They aren't persuaded of the worth of the treasure in the field. And if I could beg you today, I would beg you to lay aside this world and all that it offers and find this treasure. This world is passing away. It is exactly like a field, just barren and empty. The only thing worth anything in this field is Christ, the treasure. The rest will be burned up. Listen, everything you own is going to be taken away from you. Your stuff you find valuable now will get eaten by bugs or rot or rust. The people you love, they're going to die. Your body, you are working so hard to keep in shape, is slowly dying. This world isn't worth what it claims. Christ is. And Matthew is telling you this. He is life. He is eternal life. We must cling to him. Be like this man in this parable. Find this treasure and enjoy. Sell all you have to have it. Give up all your sin. Repent. Turn to Christ. Find him as more valuable, more enriching than your pleasure. So the question is, are you persuaded? Because you should be. And with this, have a happy Monday.